Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. We appreciate you listening every Sunday night to Bible Crossfire. On this program, we emphasize the truth. Jesus said in John 8, verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," talking about being made free from sin. A lot of preachers teach different things, but 2 plus 2 cannot equal 4 and 5 at the same time. Jesus is truth, the one taught by the Bible, and there's only one truth, is the way we have to follow if we want to be saved. I like a passage, Luke 6:46, where Jesus says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" I like that passage because it points out the deficiency of many people's religion today. They're eager to call Jesus Lord, but they don't really obey Jesus as if He is their Lord. They call Him Lord, but they don't make Him Lord. I'm going to give you an illustration of this. About 2 months ago, I was at a sports awards banquet. A number of people were getting awards, including some famous sports figures. One of them, I won't say his name, began his acceptance speech by talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and how that he had put the Lord Jesus Christ first. He talked about calling Jesus Lord in a very positive way. But then when he ended his speech, his acceptance speech for this award, he ended it with a cuss word. Of course, Ephesians 4:29, a passage says something like, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." So this famous sports figure called Jesus Lord, but he didn't do the things Jesus says to do. At the beginning of the speech, he gave Jesus all the praise and the glory, which is great. At the end of the speech, he ended it with a cuss word. He is a typical example of many people who are religious today. They call themselves Christians. They call Jesus Lord, but they don't make Him Lord. They don't follow what He says. And that's what I want to emphasize tonight, is not only we need to call Jesus Lord, we need to make Him Lord. Ron from Florida, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. In the third chapter of Revelation, particularly the 19th verse and throughout, is Jesus talking to a Christian church or a mixture of saved and lost people?
Well, in verse 19, he's still talking to the church at Laodicea. We see that in verse 14. So he's specifically talking to the church at Laodicea. But notice how he puts it in verse 19. He says, "As many as I love," that would get everybody, "as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." So he said, this is a general truism about God, about Jesus. Those who he loves, those who are following him, whoever they are, whether they're at the church at Laodicea or the church today in Atlanta, he rebukes and chastens them. And he says, because of that, you ought to be zealous, therefore, and repent. That command applies to everybody, saint or sinner. I've noted a number of times on this program that when we're talking about forgiveness of sins, it's always, always without exception, contingent upon or dependent upon our repentance. Yes, it's the blood of Christ that washes away our sins, but we cannot expect to be forgiven by Jesus based upon His death unless we're willing to repent of our sins, to change and start living the way He has told us to live. Does that make sense, Ron?
Yes, but even a born-again believer can sin, and when we do, we still go to Jesus in repentance from sin, correct? I mean, it's not like we're going to ever achieve sinless perfection in this life in the flesh.
That's right. And he was talking to some Christians there in verses 14 through 22.
So the church at Laodicea, there's not a mixed multitude of unbelievers and believers in the church of Laodicea, correct?
People that have been born again, but people that are born again, as you say, they can fall away. They can sin. And if they do, they need to repent to be forgiven of that, Ron.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call, Ron. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. That's 877-655-6755. The lines are open. Another illustration of what I'm talking about people calling Jesus Lord but not making Him Lord. My first job out of college, I had a friend that I would eat lunch with in the work lunchroom, we might say, and one time, it probably happened more than once, he told a dirty joke. I called him on it because he claimed to be a Christian. He told a dirty joke. I called him out on it. But he said, God knows my heart. It's as if, since God knew his heart, it was okay for him in God's eyes to do something that was contrary to what God would want him to do, tell a dirty joke. You know, Matthew 15, 17 through 19 shows that everything we do on the outside comes from the inside. You can't tell a dirty joke and not have a dirty heart, and vice versa. Let me read that passage to you. Matthew 15, 17 through 19. Jesus is speaking. He says, Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, witness, false witness, blasphemy. See, so that the sins we commit, we might say on the outside, Jesus saying here, they all come from the heart. Anytime we sin, that reflects upon our heart. Of course, as Ron has just pointed out, none of us gets to a point where we live sinlessly. And so that would imply then that none of us get to a point where our heart is perfect like Jesus was. But that's our goal, to get to develop our heart to where it's perfect and we never sin. That's our goal. And when we mess up, this verse, Revelation 3:19, says we're going to have to repent if we want to be forgiven. Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So as I was saying, if we don't practice God's word, that proves our heart is in the wrong place. My friend, I'm talking about at my work lunchroom, he called Jesus Lord, but he didn't make him Lord. Let me give you another example. And by the way, if you have a Bible question or comment on this or any other topic, 877-655-6755 is the number to call. Another illustration of this is people who claim to be Christians missing church all the time. Missing church services is an example of something people do who claim Jesus is Lord, but they don't make him Lord. Let me read to you one passage out of dozens that shows why we ought to attend the church services of the church where we attend. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I've talked to people who claim to be Christians that say they don't have to go to church. They don't even have to belong to a church. And then many people who belong to a church maybe just go on Sunday mornings or once every 2 or 3 weeks. But here's a command from God that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's why my wife and I and children, we go, as the old saying is, we go every time the church doors are open, because we want to put God first. We're not just going to call him Lord, we're going to make him Lord. So when the church we attend is having services, we're going to be there. We're going to put it before anything. Making Jesus Lord means we put him first above fun, sports, even family and work. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we must put Jesus first. Maybe we want to watch the Super Bowl, but it falls on a Sunday evening. If our church, the church we belong, meets on Sunday night, we're going to go to church, no matter how interested we are in the Super Bowl, because we're going to put God before fun, sports, even our family, even our work. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Put him before anything. Mark from Louisiana, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, I've been a member of the Church of Christ for many years. I recently moved to the Baptist Church, and I work with some folks there. And, of course, there's some differences in theology. And as we talk about this concept of Jesus and his expectations in our lives and us obeying him, and the concept of that verse, as well as walking in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him, and the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses us from our sins. Of course, that's 1 John 1. My question to you is this: dialogue a little bit. When I was younger, I would get very scared on this concept of forgetting a sin that I did not repent of, or forgetting a sin that I may have committed, and you know, and if I didn't ask for forgiveness or if I hadn't repented from it, you know, I was in danger of the judgment. And as I've grown and studied, I see that might not be the case. I kind of want to know your thought of that concept of, you know, walking in the light and of course, you know, we all commit sins every day, and I just want to know what do you see the Bible says on that topic of, you know, grace under the predication that we're of course obeying the gospel and doing what Jesus asks us to do.
Well, you quoted Mark 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So a condition of being forgiven is walking in the light, and a simple synonym for walking in the light is doing what God says, doing what the Bible says. Then if we drop down to verse 9, Mark, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just.
He's faithful and just forgive us of our sins.
Forgive, so, and so we have to walk in the light, we have to confess our sins. Acts 8, verse 22, Simon the sorcerer, who's a person who became a Christian, but then sinned, Peter told him to repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Wouldn't that imply, Mark, taking 1 John 1:9 and Acts 8:22 together, wouldn't that imply that we won't be forgiven if we're not willing to repent and confess of our sins, Mark?
I agree with that 100%. What I'm saying is there were things that I was even unaware of that I was doing, and then I would get scared, like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that. I had not asked for forgiveness, and if I had not asked for forgiveness for something like that, you know, and I did it out of ignorance or did it out of, you know, would I still be under the grace of Jesus Christ? And in talking with a lot of folks and discussing this, that's been kind of a vague subject for me as I continue to look in the gospel.
Mark, why don't we continue this discussion via email? Send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com. Okay, Mark?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate your call. One thing to keep in mind about Mark's question, a very good question, are passages like Matthew 5, verse 6, which says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 7:7 says, knock and it shall be opened to you. Seek and you shall find. So we have to make all of the Bible harmonize and not take one verse over another. Whenever we repent of our sins, we sin and then we repent, it's our repentance doesn't mean we deserve forgiveness. No, it's the death of Christ is what pays for our forgiveness. So when we repent and we're forgiven, that's God's grace right there. He's willing to forgive us when we repent. And so we do have to repent in order to be forgiven for our sin. Forgiveness is always based upon repentance. Now, as far as things we don't know, well, that's where the seek ye first, the kingdom of God comes first. That's where seek and ye shall find, Matthew 7:7 come in. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If we're really seeking, hungering and thirsting after righteousness and seeking God, then God guarantees that we will find Him and we will find the truth, and the truth will make us free from sin. But if we're nonchalant about it and don't really care and not diligently seek Him, then we won't necessarily find the truth, and we won't deserve to be saved because we haven't repented. We won't be forgiven. Heather from Washington, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I'm curious about he was my fiance and he hurt me repeatedly. He struggled with anger and now he's facing a few years in prison for it, and he claimed to be a Christian. I lost my train of thought.
Did you ever marry him, Heather?
No, I did not marry him. He wanted me to marry him. I couldn't because it was just anger and control. And
don't ever marry somebody that's going to hit you. So you need to move on, Heather. Perhaps we can discuss it further via email. Would you like to?
Sure.
Send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com. There may be some things that we want to talk about that are more private that you might not want over national radio like this. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks. Send me that email.
Okay.
Anybody that wants to talk to me about the Bible, send me an email at any time during the week. The email address is BibleCrossfire@email.com. As a matter of fact, if you want to be put on my emailing list, I send out a Doctrine Matters email message once a week. Just send that request to the same address. Say, I want to be on the Doctrine Matters email list. Send that to BibleCrossfire@email.com. Stella from Washington, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hey, did you say Stella? This is Stella.
Hey, Stella.
Hey, I was going to point out to you, you mentioned that people can actually be saved and still be sinners. Well, I agree that we do sin as believers. However, the Bible in Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, requires that it says, how can we live in, it says, how can we live any longer in sin? It says, we are not to live in sin continually. And it says that we are, I'm quoting because I don't have it in front of me, but it says, such ones as we are who have died to sin, how can we live any longer therein? So if I believe if one is living in sin, don't call yourself a Christian, because you're a very bad example of what Christ said to be holy and not have sin continuously evident in your life. If you're sinning and you are repentant, yes, I heard you talk about repentance. Repent and turn and ask God to help you deal with it and allow Him to work in your life and make you what He wants you to be, following after righteousness.
Stella, I agree with you 100%. Very good points. Good call. Stella's exactly right. Romans 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Right. Why would you want to call yourself a Christian if you're just going to continue to live in sin? The name Christian means follower of Christ. And if you're living in sin, you're not following Christ. So people can make a choice to become a Christian, but they don't lose their free will after they do that. And so if they choose to quit living as a Christian, Galatians chapter 5, verse 4 says they've fallen from grace, they lose their salvation. We need to make the commitment when we become a Christian, when we're baptized, Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, make the commitment that we're going to try our best to live the Christian life. And then after we become a Christian, we need to follow through on that commitment. Philip from Michigan, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Earlier in the program, you were talking about church attendance. My question is, a person who chooses to only go to church once per month, would that exclude them from heaven?
The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, Philip, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. So this is a command. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says, sin is the transgression of the law. So God's law on this is that we ought to attend church services. If we don't, we're violating God's law. That's sin. And Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says the wages of sin is death, talking about spiritual death. And so, yes, we must attend church services faithfully if we want to go to heaven. Jack from Mississippi, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. You made a statement a couple callers ago about in order to be forgiving, a man needs to seek after God, I guess essentially fall on his knees and ask for repentance. But Romans chapter 3 makes it plainly clear that no one seeks after God, no, not one. Their throats are but an open grave, and their hearts are deceitful and wicked, and essentially they're dead men walking. I was just wondering how you reconcile Romans 3 with what you stated to the caller a couple of questions ago. And the other question I have is repentance. Where in the Bible do you find a man has the ability to repent unless he is, you know, prior to his regeneration. Acts 13:48 makes it plainly clear that a man does not have the ability to repent unless God has.
Hey, Jack, let's go with one. Let me address that first question first.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Okay. So in Romans 3, it says, no one seeks after God. There's no righteous. But I quoted Matthew 7:7 that says, seek and ye shall find. I quoted Matthew 6:33 early in the program. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So those verses not only say it's possible to seek God, but that we are required to seek God. Now, what Romans 3 and 4 is talking about is nobody lives perfectly. You see, in Romans 4, verse 4, it says, now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. And so, what we're talking about Romans 3 and 4 is it's saying that nobody can come to God by living a perfect life, or nobody does. Jesus is the only one that's lived perfectly. So we're all going to need forgiveness, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the point of Romans chapter 3, and that's in verse 23. That doesn't mean that we can't seek God's forgiveness and repentance. The caller asked about repentance. The Bible teaches that for a person to become a Christian, he's got to repent. That's clear. In Acts 2, verse 38, Peter's talking to some people who are not yet Christians. They want to know what to do, evidently, to be saved. He says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So obviously it is possible for a non-Christian to repent of his sins. Not only possible, but required. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all perish. And so it is not only possible, but required. And as I said at the very beginning, every time you see forgiveness in the Bible, it's always contingent upon repentance, whether you're talking about a saint or a sinner. Mark from Virginia, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Well, so my question changed after listening to some of that. So earlier you told a caller that you must attend church faithfully in order to be saved and go to heaven. So I guess my question now has changed, and it's, so is the requirement to be saved to call on the name of the Lord, or is it to attend a church building faithfully? Which is it? Because that really seemed to throw me off when you said that with the last
Romans 10:13 says you got to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, and Hebrews 10:25 says you got to attend church services in order to be faithful to God. So it's both. It's both. We really appreciate all the calls. We're about to have to go off the air in about a minute or a minute and a half. We were talking about why call you me Lord, Lord, do not the things that I say. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 5 says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. And so this verse says, if we say we know God, but we don't keep his commandments, we're a liar. One of his commandments is you've got to attend church faithfully. So, if we don't attend church faithfully, this verse says, if you claim to know God, but you don't attend church faithfully, keep his commandments, you're a liar. The truth is not in him. And that would apply to any of God's commandments. Be sure and listen next week at this same time. If you have another question, Bible Crossfire at email.com is my email address.